Talking about being single-minded, planted, and liberated. Liberation is the goal. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, and he said this to those who believe on him. You can look it up, John 8:30. Then Jesus said to those disciples who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples and indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Being liberated from addictions, being liberated from bad thinking, wrong images of yourself that are robbing you from being all you can do. You know, freedom is the ultimate. How many of you can say, I've been a Christian for so many years and I am totally free? Yet that is the goal of knowing Jesus. Amen? So we've got a long way to go. So get your shovel out. We're going to dig in and get somewhere. But there's a step. That's the goal, but it starts somewhere else. First, it starts with being single-minded towards Jesus, who he is in your life. Who do men say that I am? Jesus said. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're one of the prophets or John the Baptist come back from the dead. And then he said, who do you say I am? Now he's getting personal. You got to know who he is. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? When you're being tempted, who do you say he is? Is he the one that overcome temptation and lives in you? Is he the one that overcame everything and lives in you? Is he the healer? Has he stopped being healer? No, he's still healer. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Has he changed?
No.
So as far as you're concerned, he's your healer. Does he waste any time?
No.
Is he a present help in the time of need? So he doesn't waste any time, right? Be single-minded. We're getting to something today. And then we'll talk about being planted. Can't say too much about being planted. And then we'll talk about being liberated. But this morning, we're going to let the scriptures make some connections for us, okay? Turn with me to James chapter 1. And as we turn there, let's know that when we open the Word of God, we are opening the very thing that will change us forever. The very thing that will support us forever. The very thing that once we get it in our heart, God honors his word. He watches over it to perform it, to make it good in our lives. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, I remember when I was first saved, my brother came into the room. I'd been saved that night, and he came into my bedroom, and I was sitting there by the bed, and he said, wow, what's going on in here? The peace of God was just so full in that room. When I woke up, it was like his hand was on my head all night. That's what it felt. That's what I thought, the first thing I thought when I woke up. I realized something, and I didn't realize it right away. It was like later in the day when I realized that it was the first time in about 8 years that I didn't have to get smashed drunk to get to sleep. I was delivered. And then my brother left the room, these sobs came out of me from deep inside, deeper than I'd ever felt before. I didn't know I even had that depth in me. And I think it was the new creation just pushing all that crud out of me. And sobs and sobs and sobs. And then for the next 3 days and nights, I read. I had this little King James green, you know, covered Gideon's Bible. And it was the New Testament and Psalms. And I read the entire New Testament in 3 days from Matthew to Revelation. And it was King James. I was an atheist. I didn't know what I was reading. But I had to figure out what happened to me. Something happened to me. And when God touches you, he touches you when nobody else can touch you. I'm telling you. And I didn't know what I read. All I knew was that I never was taught about this Jesus. This one had power. This one was almighty. This one was something else. And if I got that far, fine. It got me to the next level. It gave me an understanding I didn't have before. And it all came from the Word of God. Amen. So in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. Let me just finish that thought. I left something out there. That I knew I had a real revelation of the fact that Jesus was this amazing person, powerful person, who's coming back again, who can change my life. And if there's anything, it brought my mind into a single opinion about Jesus, into a single knowledge of Jesus that I never had before. And when God reveals something to you, I'm telling you something, revelation outdoes knowledge all the time. Because nobody could take that from me. They couldn't rip that out of my heart. They couldn't change my mind. I even tried to change my mind and I couldn't. If you'd be honest, and I can't say too much about being honest, folks. I'm going to talk about a little about that today too. But James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. The King James says, upbraideth not. that means he gives ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding. And the bottom line is, he's not looking for ways to withhold wisdom from us. He's looking for ways to get his wisdom to us. Amen. Say that. He's looking for ways to get his wisdom to me. All the time. Oh dear. Praise God. We sang that this morning. You don't hold back. We don't hold. And then we go out of here saying, I wonder if God will give me wisdom. How about it? You got to understand, when you sing these songs, when you're singing these words, meditate. Think about what you're saying. And when you think about what you're saying, start meditating on them. It may not make sense to you at first, but after a while it will. He doesn't hold back. He's already given you the very best thing he could possibly give you. Polished him off and everything. That was Jesus. Amen. And if he gave you the best that he could possibly give you, why would he withhold something like wisdom? Would there be any reason for him to withhold healing? Would there be any wisdom? The wisdom of God is amazing. He would not withhold prosperity, even from a fool. Now, if you're a fool, you're not going to get prosperous. But, you know, you can make some foolish choices with prosperity. And there are many people that God has made wealthy, and they got caught up with their wealth, took their eyes off of the wealth giver, and ended up broke. So we need to stay on that road. let's go a little further. Okay, well, he says this, without reproach, without fault finding. So he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally without reproach to everybody who's obeyed the Ten Commandments. To everybody who hasn't sinned in a week. To everybody who hasn't committed adultery, stolen, or whatever. Them he'll give wisdom. Right? No. That was a trick. See if you're listening. Sometimes responses are, oh, yeah. See how compliant we are to influences and things that are not down the middle of the road? Like I said, he's not looking. And look, I mean, let's say adultery, right? Somebody commits adultery. It says, he who commits adultery, in Proverbs, lacks understanding. And wisdom and understanding are wrapped together. Why would he withhold wisdom from somebody who committed? Wouldn't he want to get that guy some wisdom or that woman some wisdom? He would want to correct them. He's a corrector. He's not saying, well, you did that and I'm going away. Leave you to lie in your own mess. No, he picks you up. He restores you. He cleanses you. He washes you, puts it away, and makes you new. Cleanses you from all unrighteousness, right? Amen. Praise God. So regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done, regardless of your attitudes, regardless of, if you ask, he will give you wisdom. If you lack wisdom and ask for wisdom, guess what you're going to get? Wisdom! Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Wisdom is a lot of things. Wisdom knows what the consequences will be if I do this. Wisdom can see the future, and that's what word of wisdom is. It has the gift of the Spirit has to do with wisdom concerning future events. And you'll see that in prophecy a lot of times. You'll see a word of wisdom from Isaiah concerning the future, what's going to happen. Throw that out there. That wasn't in my notes, but hey, if he lacks wisdom, ask for wisdom, it will be given to him. You know, people are saying, you know, say, aren't you giving people an excuse just to go out and sin? You know, I mean, come on. You know, regardless, they can just turn to you and ask for wisdom. Well, yeah. And if you're preaching grace the right way, you're going to get the same questions that the Apostle Paul got. Oh, then we should just go sin our brains out so the grace may abound. No, you're getting the wrong thing. How can you who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen? Plus the fact, if you do sin, you're opening up the inroads for the devil to get in and mess up your whole life. You don't want that. Are we getting anywhere today? Verse 6. Well, if you ask for wisdom, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, and underline driven, and tossed, underline tossed, and by the wind, underline wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Underline unstable. But let him ask in faith. We talked about this earlier in communion, that faith is the premium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. Faith assumes that you have what you can't see or is not revealed to your senses.
Amen.
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 Amen. Come on, guys. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. You know, no doubting. You ever notice the word doubt? We've been through this before. D-O-U-B-T. It means doubled. It means to be of two opinions or two minds. That's what the word doubt means. It means to be of two opinions. Like a snake has a forked tongue.
Yeah.
And Indians used to say, you speak with forked tongue. And in the old westerns,
yes, yep.
Kemosabe, he speak with a forked tongue. Well, the thing is, your tongue is attached to your mind. And if your mind is double, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be speaking the wrong things about you, others, about your situation. You're going to be speaking curses or blessing into your own life. You got to get this right and get single-minded. Because a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he can't stay still long enough to receive it. because he's driven and tossed to and fro by the wind. And the wind are the winds of this world. Nothing doubting. You know, this could be just as easy as this. Here's how we get double-minded. Say, okay, I'm going to go in the back room and I'm going to pray in tongues for about a half hour here. Or until, you know, I get a release from the Lord. And I'm just going to go do that. And I'm already there and the phone rings. Friend says, hey, we're all going out to breakfast. You want to come? Oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to pray in tongues and spend all that time with the Lord. Maybe I'm supposed to go with these guys and fill my ears with a lot of gossip. And a lot, you know, maybe the Lord has a reason for this. And we start justifying it. And before you know it, you're going six ways from Sunday in a bus. That is how susceptible we are to being led by things out here rather than in here. So your body feels sick. You say, well, maybe God had a reason for that. No. We've already been through it. Why would he require to be under something that he's redeemed you from? If he's redeemed you from the curse of the law, which by the way, is every sickness and every disease. If he's delivered you from the curse of the law, why would he require you to be under it? Single-minded. Say that. I am. Single-minded. But that's how subtle it is, and that's how quick it comes, and that's how and before you know it, now you're compromising on how you're hearing from God, and you're out here. You're getting signals from out here somewhere where the God of this world reigns. He doesn't reign in here. He reigns out here. That's where his influences come from. And if you start agreeing with them and saying, well, maybe God had a purpose, God doesn't use the devil to get a message to you.
Right.
If my father ever wanted to talk to me, would he call the neighbor and say, would you talk to my son? No, he'd talk right to me. He wouldn't talk to me through my circumstances. He wouldn't talk to me through this or that or the other. He'd talk directly to me. Say single-minded.
Single-minded.
You got to be single-minded in this. Otherwise, you will be driven and tossed by the waves and the wind. Yeah, same old, same old. It's turbulent out there. You know, there's no purpose to it. If you look at the world, look, turn on the news. Well, I'm not recommending this. But turn on the news sometime, and they sit there and argue and shout over each other, and they just and nothing gets accomplished. But yet they do the same thing the next day, and the same argument the next day, and the same thing the next day. They are personifying the definition of insanity. And yet people look at this. You know, I got a statistic here, too. And this is a survey from Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism. They said, we are sounding the alarm on the American establishment media. This is this year. Americans ranked last in the world for national trust in media, with only 29% of Americans saying they trust them. That's according to Poynter Institute of Media Studies. They know, yeah, I was too. I thought it would be like 2%, you know? But, well, it shows you how gullible some people are. Hook, line, and sinker, man. They just take the bait. You know why? Because they don't know the truth. You know, if you know the truth, you'll be free from a whole lot of stuff. If you've settled the truth in your mind that God's will is for you to be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers, that's what the Word says. Why wouldn't it be? But yet we say, well, maybe not. Double-minded. Double-minded. A sudden phone call or text that you get can distract you and pull you off right out of your plan, right out of here. Right out of the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Bumping into someone you haven't seen in a while. Sudden new idea. Well, now, that could be from God. But does it take you out of your game? Does it take you out of the Word? Does it make you compromise the Word? Your time with the Lord. You know, I remember Lori and I ran a small group. This is, what, 20 years, 25 years ago or so. And one of the guys in the small group, he bought a boat. Do you know who we never saw on Sundays ever again?
The guy with the boat.
He was out sailing his boat. That's not a gift from the Lord. How easily we're taken out of the race that we've been called to run, out of the game that we've been called to win. Amen. Letting ourselves be driven in a different direction than we plan starts to form a pattern. Before you know it, you start compromising the Word. You start compromising your decisions. You start to look at ways to get around the Scripture rather than simply doing it. Then you're going contrary to the Word, and before you know it, you're in a mess, and you're broke, and you're sick, and you have no recourse, and you're out of fellowship with God. And then you say, why did God allow this to happen to me? Let me say this whole thing with God allowing things, the power of binding and loosing is not with God. It's not in heaven. It's here on earth. It's with you. You have the power to bind. He says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If the two of you agree on anything, I'll do it. Well, God allowed this. No, you allowed it. And one way or another, somehow, your mind split, your mouth split, and your words had something to do with it.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, I had no control over this situation. No, but maybe you didn't. Maybe you were attacked, but you do have control. You do have control over the way you respond to it. And the devil's idea is to get you out of your game and get you to go take things in your own hands, which you didn't. God loved you through it. God loved you through it. Hope that speaks to you guys. See, if you got a boat with an anchor in it, you can't be driven and tossed by the winds and the waves. You know, Hebrews 6:19 says, it says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, and which enters into that which is behind the veil. Hope takes the things that Jesus went through that veil. He's the forerunner of our faith. He went through that veil and procured all of heaven's treasures, put it into the New Testament, and says this here. That hope goes in to that which was behind the veil and appropriates it and takes it and anchors you to it, and you can't be moved from it. Once it's a revelation in your heart, nothing can take it out of your hands. Nothing can take it. Nothing can change your mind. When you receive it from heaven, it's unlocked forever, and it's yours. And not, you know, the revelation that comes from listening to the Word of God, listening to Jesus. You remember when Jesus said to Martha, he said, you know, you got a lot of problems. He didn't say it, but he said, Martha, you are troubled by so many things. But Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Once you receive the Word of God and it becomes revelation to you, it can't be taken from you. You may not use it. You may put it in the closet. You may drop it. You may lose it for a while, but it's still yours. And it cannot be taken from you. Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's wonderful.
These are nuggets that are flying out of heaven. That was not in my notes today. Thank you, Lord. Throne room counsel is always the best. When you're anchored in the Word, you won't be driven away from the Word. When you're anchored in the truth, you will not be moved from the freedom that the truth brings to your heart. When you are anchored in His love, you will never fail. Even though the winds blow and the waves beat on the boat, you will never fail because love never fails. Mm. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we've read this verse from all kind of, from basically two things. Let's put that up, John. Matthew 6, 24 says, no man can serve two masters. Now, we've read this verse as far as money, and we've read it from God, like God or money. And that's what we, but this is so much far more far-reaching than that, and so much deeper. He's making a connection here. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either hate one and love the other, or else will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, the very next verse, what does it say? Somebody said, when you come to a therefore, you got to understand what it's there for.
Right.
And it's referring back to the previous statement that you cannot serve two masters. Therefore, take no thought saying. Look at this. No man can serve two masters. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat. Now, we've looked at this and say, that means don't worry about it. No, that's not what it's saying. It says, don't take a thought and get your mind on the wrong things. You can't serve two masters. If I had a butler, let's say I had one of these mansions and I had Carson from what's that, Downton Abbey?
Yes,
And he was the butler. Now, that butler served the master of the house. He can't serve somebody else and still give all of to that master, right? You cannot serve two masters. So take no thought for earthly things. Who is your master? Jesus, right? Serving Jesus. Why are you taking thought about the stuff that He's already promised to provide you? Mm-hmm. This is the whole Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
People are so caught up and concerned with end times. They're so caught, you know, how many horns are on the Antichrist or whatever it is, and how many eyes they got. Most of Revelation, we're not even going to be there anyway. It's there for the record. So that when it happens, God can say, I told you so. Amen?
Amen?
But they're caught up in end times. They're caught up in this and that. And the other. And there's so many different fragments in the Word of God that you can get focused on and totally lose the whole picture of the fact that if you just do the Ten Commandments, or I'm sorry, if you just do the Sermon on the Mount, you won't have to worry about the rest of it. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you.
Right.
And that's what He goes on to say later on. Isn't that right? Can you disagree? You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Just pay attention to the Sermon on the Mount. And if you can get that, then go to it again, because it says, judge not lest you be judged. And if you take an inventory of your thoughts for a total day, if God could play back your thoughts to you at the end of the day, I mean, just a brief summary, how you have judged people and condemned people, thought against them, spoke against them, and people feel that. And He tells you, don't do it. Why? So that you won't be judged. Is there things going on in Christians' lives that are destructive, that come in and blow up the whole thing? Why is that? Don't judge, and you won't be judged. So do the Sermon on the Mount, you'll be okay. Therefore, take no thought. We went over this last week. When a thought comes into your head and you speak it with your mouth, you become partner. You're taking that thought and you're bringing it into the earth as a word, as a seed. Jesus called our words seed. They will bear fruit after their own kind. When a wrong thought comes into your head and you speak it with your mouth, let's say the devil says, you know what? You're an idiot. You say, yeah, I'm an idiot. You just agreed with the devil about who you are. No, and that is evil. Because you're a blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again, recreated child of the living God. You will have that recreated spirit for eternity. You are not an idiot. You have the wisdom of Christ that's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. An idiot is somebody who looks at that and rejects it. You cannot be that. Single-minded. Because if you're double-minded, you won't receive anything from the Lord. And instability will mark your life. You won't be able to keep a job. You won't be able to keep an income coming in. You won't be able to meet your responsibilities. You'll have damaged relationships, and it goes on and on and on. And before you, that's all that stuff is under the curse of the law. And we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus having been made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Amen. He's making a connection here. Real briefly, go to Isaiah 55. See, this is what, and he says, let the man, 55 verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at this. He didn't say that our mind is evil, did he? You know, when I was first saved, I went to a church and they said, oh, that's just mental. Mind is bad, spirit is good. As if my mind was evil. And people were throwing away their minds No, God gave you a mind. There's nothing evil about your mind. The things that you put in your mind or allow in your mind could be evil or they could be good, depending on your source. Spend time in the Word. Keep it before your eyes all the time. Fill your mind with God's thoughts. Forsake your thoughts. Let the evil man forsake our thoughts. Not thinking, but forsake your thoughts. Replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. Replace your ways with God's ways. Amen. And there's a learning curve there, and you can't do it all at once, but you can do a little at a time. Take one step at a time, a baby step, and then another step, and mature in it, and grow until you're sure-footed, and until you're strong. You guys there today? I feel like something's bouncing back at me here. Okay. Just want to make sure. Now, here's what he's doing. He's connecting our thoughts and our ways. Jesus did the same thing. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we, you know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get to work? You know, the car's in the shop. One worry after another, and before you know it, what's happening to your single-mindedness is that it is being fragmented into all of these different things. And God's called you to do one thing. Love God, love people. The rest will work out. But don't let the world agitate you and get you all bent out of shape with the pressures of life, the worries and cares of life, and all of these things. Those are thieves, and they're meant to get your mind out of whack with God. And then you'll be driven and tossed with the tides, with the currents, with the winds. And you won't receive anything from the Lord, because when he's dropping on you, the waves will carry you over here. You're dropping over here, you won't receive anything from the Lord because you're double-minded. Well, I don't have time right now, but in Philippians 4:8, it tells us what we should look at. It tells us what we should think about. And if you find yourself in problems, you're probably not thinking, what about the things that are on the list? But he says this in 4:8. He says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, don't listen to the media. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. One reason the devil wants to destroy things that are true and true facts and true things is because truth comes from God. Truth liberates mankind. And he doesn't want you free. He wants you bound. He wants you addicted. He wants to keep you under his heel. He wants you to think that these are your problems. No, they're his addictions. Don't identify. If the devil drops a tempting thought into your mind, don't identify with it and claim it as your own. That's what this is all about.
Right.
Don't claim it as your own. Say, Lord, that thought just came to me. And I'm not identifying with that. I identify with you, and I'm casting this down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Rise up and be single-minded.
Yes.
Amen. Rise up and get your mind straightened out and screwed on right. Another reason the devil hates the truth is Jesus said, this is why I came. He said it to Pilate. He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. You say I'm a king, and I am a king, but I came for this reason. To bear witness to the truth. That's why the world hated him, because they listened to the liar and the god of this world. He's the father of lies. The more we meditate on truth, which is the word of God, the more truth we will be able to accept, embrace, and walk in. Truth brings freedom when we know the truth. Truth is rare in this world. I'm just telling you, truth is really rare in this world. Be honest. You know, if you're honest, you can't really judge somebody and still remain honest. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this week, and he talked about absolute zero, which is the absence of heat. Absolute zero is 459.67 degrees below freezing Fahrenheit. It's something you can't even imagine, and if you were in it, you would instantly freeze and be out of your body. It's the complete absence. With God, there is a complete absence of dishonesty. He is totally honest. He is light. There is a total absence of darkness with God. He cannot lie. He cannot fragment the truth. He is pure light.
Amen.
And he operates pure in pure honesty. He is light. He is truth. He is pure as you can, crystal clear as you can get. Pure and good. And he's not double-minded about it. What he says is what he means. What he says is what happens and what he does. Every time he speaks, people are healed. Every time he speaks, creation happens. When he spoke into your heart, you were recreated. And you left the old behind. And you put a cap back on the cesspool and you walked away. Amen. Ah, we've got fresh waters to drink. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for